I understand. The House will come to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Flag salute this morning will be led by Representative Vic Gilliam.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Colleagues, we have a great honor here this morning. We have a guest with us who will present the opening ceremony. She is Barbara Jaeger from Sheraton, and she is the 2012 Oregon Mother of the Year and a guest of Representative Michael Dembrow. So welcome and thank you for being with us.
My remarks, in part, are inspired from a talk given by David A. Bednar, a past president of BYU University in Idaho. I used to wonder if our efforts to have dedicated family time with our children was even worthwhile. Sincere teaching moments were often interrupted with giggling and poking and playing around. And with active, healthy children, our family meetings did not always produce high levels of edification. At times, I've been so exasperated because the righteous habits we are working so hard to foster did not seem to yield the immediate results we wanted or expected. It's easy to think that helping our children understand the content of a certain lesson or specific point is the ultimate outcome, though such results don't appear to occur as often as we would have liked. But I've come to understand that by consistently dedicating a specific time for our children each day, and not just what we would consider a quality time for our children, has had profound effect on my adult children's lives, a lesson I did not fully appreciate as I was starting to raise my family. A beautiful landscape painting is a vast collection of individual brushstrokes, none of what in isolation is very interesting or even impressive. In fact, if you stand close to the canvas, all you can see is a mass of seemingly unrelated and very unattractive streaks of color. However, as you gradually move away from the canvas, all of the individual strokes combine together to produce a magnificent work of art. Many ordinary individual brushstrokes work together to create a captivating and beautiful painting. As most moments we spend with our children don't appear to be life-changing, impressive, or even memorable, but just as the brushstrokes of the paint can complement each other and produce an impressive masterpiece, so our consistency in spending time with our children can lead to significant results. Each family prayer, each episode of family council, and each teaching moment is a brushstroke on the canvas of our children's lives. Thank you so much for your time and for this opportunity to speak to you today.
Barbara shared with me that she is quite new to this role. And step up to the side aisle, if you would, please, Barbara, because we want to make sure you know that every time you come to your Capitol, you're welcome. We're very proud of you, and we look forward to seeing you around the state representing mothers who are taking care of families and children. So we greatly appreciate it. And step forward with a smile. Let those worries go away. Don't be nervous. You're going to be a great representative. Courtesies, Representative Dembrow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in extending courtesies of the day to Oregon's Mother of the Year, Bobby Jaeger. We have a group of, where are they? They're back there, of past Mothers of the Year, and we also have Oregon's Young Mother of the Year, current Young Mother of the Year, that's Amanda Larimer from Hillsboro. Thank you. Let me just tell you a few things about Bobby and what's so special about her. You heard her wisdom, but she's quite a remarkable person. Born August 23rd, 1959 in Salt Lake City, married to retired Captain Mike Jaeger of the U.S. Air Force, Bobby was adopted as an infant by parents who were unable to have children. Well, she returned the favor. From her childhood, she dreamed of having a large family, and she ended up with 13 children, 8 boys and 5 girls. As their family grew, they traveled the world, including visits to Germany, Japan, Korea, 2 years in Saudi Arabia, resided in Utah, Florida, Arizona, Georgia, and finally the last 19 years in Oregon. Besides serving her family, Bobby has served as Women's Relief Society president in her church congregation, an LDS church representative in the children's and young women's presidencies for 9 regional congregations, Cub and Boy Scout volunteer, caretaker to both her and Mike's moms the last year of their lives, and is an educator at both the Benjamin Franklin Academy and Thomas Jefferson education classes. Colleagues, you may not be familiar with the American Mothers Group, but for over 75 years, the American Mothers, Inc., with its national headquarters in Washington, D.C., has worked tirelessly to serve families throughout the country. American Mothers began in the early 1930s when businessman and philanthropist J.C. Penney enlisted 4 prominent New Yorkers, including famous clergyman and author Norman Vincent Peale, and formed a committee called the American Mothers Committee. In 1945, the first chapter in Oregon was organized. It is an interfaith, non-political, non-profit organization for women and men who recognize the important role of motherhood through educational programs and community outreach. This organization is responsible for annually selecting the Mother of the Year and the Young Mother of the Year. The organization has consultative status with the United Nations and works to improve the lives of mothers throughout the United States and the world. Next week, in fact, American Mothers will be hosting a panel at the upcoming 56th United Nations Conference on the Status of Women. Their theme is Peace Building and Motherhood, Art, Culture, and Faith Promoting Peace in Rural Families. Today, we have visiting our 2012 Mother of the Year, Bobby Jaeger from Sheridan, and Amanda Larimer from Hillsboro, the young mother for Oregon, along with many other past mothers of the year. They're going to be meeting here in the Capitol in room 243 all day, if you want to stop by and say hi. And they have a plaque that has just had Bobby's name added to it that will, again, hang in the governor's office. And colleagues, you should also know that the Oregon Mothers, are the official sponsors of Mother's Day in Oregon. And so I'd like you for a moment in closing, colleagues, to imagine that this interminable month of February has come to an end, and that in fact we're in May. It's May 13th, and that's Mother's Day this year. And I'd like you to join me in thanking all the mothers in your lives, the mothers, the stepmothers, the foster mothers, the godmothers, and even the aunties who, really, they might as well be mothers. Those among us here in this chamber, those in the legislature as a whole, those in Oregon as a whole, and thank you. Thank them for their love and their labor and their caring and their commitment, because they're the glue that holds our communities together. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Representative. Speaker Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My courtesy is for a family and an outstanding citizen of Florence who was the governor's volunteer award for outstanding lifetime volunteer achievement. They're sitting over here. They're going to stand up at the aisle. And Steve Olnick is his name. I wanted to say a few words. He's also there accompanied by his wife, Carolyn, of 63 years, his daughter, Lori, and his son-in-law, Bob. A few things. I really got to know Mr. Olnick a few months ago, actually, after I heard about the award and we had a chance to come down to Florence and talk about it. And I had a chance to talk about him after reading the resume and the stuff that was sent in by his daughter. And one of the things that struck me is there is a generation of citizens who fought in the Second World War who we owe a real debt of gratitude to. And he, like my father and like Senator Hatfield, who we'll be recognizing later in this week, took that oath of commitment to our country and fought, actually ended up in Japan and was a security officer for some of the war criminals that were in Japan. But what each of those people brought back to this country, my father, Senator Hatfield, Steve Olnick, was a commitment to make a better world and to do the things that were important and to remember the efforts that their parents had made before they got here. His father immigrated to this country from the Ukraine and went through teaching himself English and getting a homestead in the Dakotas and then raising a family, giving them that same input that they had to give back to their communities. And I could give you the list of commitments that he's made as a 40-year banker. We were talking earlier, his goal was to do the best he could every day with individual members who walked in and needed loans from those banks, and then at the end of the day to go out and help make that community a better place where everybody wanted to live. And over again, he stepped up and did the things that helped. We have 500 flags that we put out now in Florence, and he was one of the people that made all that happen. We have opportunities from Astoria, where he worked before, to Florence, where he retired. And when the call of duty is there, whether it's volunteer or otherwise, he's the first one to be standing up to do those things. We had the ceremony in a building that's an amazing building in Florence that services as our fire station and actually public service building in a lot of different ways. He was one of the people that worked with that. I wanted to mention what one of the people there said. You know, I was overwhelmed after the telephone call ended. I couldn't remember what it was that I had won. This is Olnick. This shows about his internally, you don't understand why people make a big deal out of this, but we have to recognize it from time to time. It was then said that from the rescue, John Buchanan, Siuslaw Valley Fire and Rescue Chief, it's the amount of effort he puts into it, Buchanan said. Every community he's ever been in, he's the same type of person. He stands up and does things for people, not for himself, for other people. Buchanan knows of a man Olnick met in Kiwanis, who now lives in a residential care facility. When the man needs to go to the doctor, whether it's here or in Eugene, Steve picks him up and drives him to that. When it comes to volunteerism, it's not about the big things, and he will always say it, it's about the little things. It's about taking care of each other. And I was amazed when I got to know a little bit more about this man and his family and the fact that he was selected from Oregonians around the state to be the Volunteer Service Lifetime Service Award only speaks volumes for all those things he did, and I'm really proud to be here with him and have introduced him to today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you to your volunteer. We greatly appreciate you being here with us today. Further courtesies, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a privilege to welcome, sitting in front of all the Mothers of the Year in the rear gallery, is the AP Government and Politics class from Gladstone High School. Nice to have them here, especially under the watchful eye of the mothers. One member of that class who I'm especially appreciative to have here is my son, Andy, who's sitting with me. Colleagues, some of you who were on the legislative trade delegation in China know that Andy helped us avoid an international incident that would have brought shame on Oregon, because the Oregon delegation was asked to sing as a group in public. And several wise members of our delegation said, no, let's don't do it. Let's get Andy to sing on our behalf. And he did, and it was a rousing success, and he had great presence and saved us all from shame and embarrassment.
Thank you. Welcome to
Andy, and welcome to the AP Government U.S. History, AP Government and Politics class from Gladstone High School.
Thank you, Representative. Welcome to the students from Gladstone. Andy, as a member of the group who was there and you saving our bacon more than once, actually, we're appreciative. And just so you all know, not only did he stand up in a very public setting and save our bacon on stage, he was the hit of every young lady in every Chinese school we visited. Because he can sing and he's got a great smile and he was a great member of the trip. We appreciate him being there. Further courtesies, Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm pleased today to be able to welcome a group of students from Germany that are here on a CBYX grant program, exchange program, which is sponsored by our Congress and their Bundestag, which I probably just butchered. They're selected for their academic achievements and interest in history and government, and they're very excited about this experience. They're on the side aisle over here if they want to stand up. And colleagues, we have Daniel, who is staying in my district. We have Philippe, who is in Representative Thompson's district. We have Becky, who is in Representative Holvey's district. And Elise, who is in Representative Nathanson's district. And Felix, who is in Representative Hoyle's district. And we're really pleased to have them here. They've toured the Capitol last year, and they're just here to watch our process today. And if you get a chance, please welcome them to the Capitol.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you to our students who are visiting. Welcome to Oregon. Glad you can be here with us. Further courtesies, Representative Parrish.
Great. Thanks, colleagues. If you see a group of fabulously boisterous fourth graders running around the building, I'm going to claim them. They are students here today from Tualatin Elementary here to enjoy their Capitol. So I don't see them in the gallery. I think a couple of them have already cycled through before we hit the floor. But if you see them in the building as they're out wandering around, like I said, I'm going to claim those kids. They're great. And, so give them a courteous hello and welcome them to their Capitol. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate that. Further courtesies, Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce you, colleagues, to two people who are pillars of Prineville. Councilmember Steve Uffelman and his wife, Jan, if you could stand. And Councilman Uffelman has been a counselor for a long time, and Jan just recently retired from our local credit union. And this is Prineville's volunteer couple that frankly get more done than anyone else and have been great friends. Welcome.
Thank you, Representative. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. Further courtesies? Colleagues, we are joined by a Marion County delegation here in the North Gallery. That's all we know about you, so welcome. Thank you for joining with us this morning. We appreciate you being here. Further courtesies? Verification of a quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Hoyle, present. All members are present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the president to inform you the Senate has passed House Bill 4046. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the president to inform you that he has signed House Bills 4008, 4009, 4024, 4034, 4068, 4117, HJM 201 and 202. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the president to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 1505, 1524, 1525, 1529, SCR 201, 203, and 204.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HCR 206 in memoriam, Officer Buddy Ray Heron, 1969 to 2011.
Measure read first time, is passed to the co-speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports, the committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports, propositions and motions. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House concur in the change in the amendments, Senate amendments to House Bill 4039 and repass the bill.
Representative Berger moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 4039 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is the senior property tax deferral program fix that we have had a long discussion about. I think I warned you in my original remarks when this passed through this body that there would be technical amendments that the bill needed in the Senate. The Senate added these technical amendments, which will make the administration of this program go more smoothly and clarify some language that needed clarification. They are technical amendments. The bill stands. I would ask for your concurrence vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are precisely the amendments that we asked for, and we got them back. We're very happy with the bill. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close? She does not. Those of the opinion the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 4039 and repass the bill will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. House Bill 4039, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills. Third reading of House bills. Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. The chair requests unanimous consent. The consideration of SCR 202 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Friday, February 24th, 2012 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 1544 related to economic development and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1580 relating to health care delivery and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1532 relating to exemption of property in enterprise zones and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1532. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 1532 is known as the Data Center Jobs Bill. It passed the Senate unanimously. It passed out of our House Committee on Revenue unanimously. The bill clarifies that data centers under certain conditions and enterprise zones are not utilities for the purposes of centralized taxation. This restores integrity to our enterprise zones and opens the doors for jobs in rural counties. I urge passage.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I'm a significant member of a limited liability company that potentially will financially gain as a result of passage of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Your conflict is noted. Further discussion, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. Speaker, friendships are about trust, and thereby living up to our word. There's no need for me to comment on the technicalities of this bill or the intricacies of central assessment. Those have been capably explained by the carrier, and I'm confident they'll be the subject of continued conversation in the House Revenue Committee. I do want to tell you that the way I was raised, there's nothing more important than our word. Senate Bill 1532 helps us keep our word as Oregonians, and that matters, because as we seek to build our economy, our word is our reputation. That can help us or hurt us. The world is watching how we choose to act with those who seek to do business in Oregon, and this gives us a chance to live up to our word. When we have a reputation as a state that honors its relationships with its friends and partners and meets its commitments, that helps. I'm happy, I'm thrilled, in fact, that Oregon is now home to an important part of one of the world's fastest growing companies, and I hope that our state's revenues and our ability to invest in education, innovation, and infrastructure parallel their growth. But this bill is much bigger than any one company. It's about honoring our commitments, meeting our words, and being who we should be as Oregonians. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Representative Conger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I just want to echo the comments of the representative from Beaverton and point out that in 2011, this body took the step of renewing the Enterprise Zone program. This bill is specific to data centers and enterprise zones, and I want to remind everybody of the tremendous historical success in enterprise zones over many years of creating jobs, stimulating investment, and eventually returning the invested values to the property tax rolls in the communities that have approved and sponsored enterprise zones. This is another sign of success in Oregon. This is a program that we can all be proud of. And I know in Central Oregon, I am very proud of our enterprise zone and the marquee companies that are now being attracted there, which include Facebook and just recently announced Apple. So in little old Prineville, Oregon, we have major Fortune 500 companies coming and investing hundreds of millions of dollars. So I urge an aye vote on this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative McLean, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Representative Nolan votes aye. Senate Bill 1532, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1537, relating to abandoned burial spaces and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1537. Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 1537 allows that cemeteries throughout Oregon are holding burial spaces purchased decades ago, in many cases over a century ago, whose owners cannot be found and may never return to use them. Not only does this present a burden to the cemetery owner, but it limits the supply of burial spaces available to the community and may cause cemeteries to seek to expand even though they have many unused gravesites. Senate Bill 1537 allows cemeteries to release burial spaces when there is no record of contact with the owner for 75 years or more. This is the identical bill that passed unanimously out of the Senate with one change, which is shifting the 50-year period to a 75-year period. One of the most important considerations for that was that 75 years will mean that anybody who passed in World War II and had a burial plot purchased contemporaneously would be protected by current practice and not impacted by the bill. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
All right.
He does?
How does the bill work if at some point somebody was buried in there and then they're no longer in the grave?
The bill does not apply to that circumstance. There is, however, a popular AMC television series which covers that phenomenon.
Further question?
What about Jesus?
I'm in favor.
Does the carrier yield?
Not to take the Lord's name in vain, no, Mr. Speaker.
All right.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Smith, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Mark Johnson, how do you vote? Johnson votes aye. Representative Brewer, how do you vote? You got to say it now. Brewer votes aye. Speaker Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Senate Bill 1537, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1565, relating to dispensing of drugs and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1565. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 1565 is a bill that was before us last session and deals with the subject of allowing physicians' assistants to prescribe, which they can do now, and dispense a limited list of drugs, not including narcotics, from their practices. This was an enormously contentious bill last session. In the interim, we brought all of the stakeholders together. They fashioned a different bill and are in either agreement or neutral on this particular bill. It's a good bill. It allows us more flexibility in the way we deliver health care, particularly through the urgent care route, and good bill should pass.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Yes, I want to thank the chairman and everyone for working together on this small bill. Last time it had a lot of contention, and it was great to see people come together. As we're looking for innovative ways to do health care, I think this is one small improvement in doing that. We have one of our family members who likes this. It's a great way. She can make an appointment over the internet. She's guaranteed to be seen within 10 to 15 minutes of the time that she has scheduled. And in her busy rush life, she gets her prescription as she walks out the door, one-stop shopping. So I urge its approval.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Thompson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Senate Bill 1565, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House, other business of the Senate, orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Sheehan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, our Frankenstein bill that we passed out of the House 2 days ago was chased down by an angry mob carrying torches and pitchforks. by the name of the League of Oregon Cities, and it has died in the Senate. So just wanted to let everyone know, thank you for your support. I just want to let everyone know that in that story, Frankenstein was not the monster. Frankenstein was the creator, and we are building a new and better monster. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrance, Representative Brewer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I wanted to just talk a little bit about our debt as a state. The 2012 report from the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission really paints a disturbing picture of where we are with our state's indebtedness. And when I look at our current dollars about our debt service funding, our current dollars are going more and more to funding of our debt. And the numbers in the commission's report suggest that Oregon has virtually reached our capacity for borrowing from our general funds and told us, do not borrow anymore for the rest of the biennium. They also strongly advise us to avoid borrowing from lottery-backed funds for two primary reasons. First, the legislature's really already allocated the bulk of the capacity from lottery funds. And second, the lottery revenues are declining right now. And when lottery revenues decline, we do have less capacity to service the debt from new bonds. In fact, in our current biennium, the money that is going from the general funds and the lottery funds to service debt has increased 73% from just 4 years ago, two bienniums ago. We cannot sustain this rate of debt service. And quoting from the commission's report, changes in overall projected lottery revenues can have a substantial impact on future lottery bond capacity. A 10% reduction in unobligated net lottery revenues over the forecasted period would reduce the available debt capacity over the next 6 years. Colleagues, I would argue that we have reached the danger zone on borrowing on lottery-backed debt. 25% of the state's lottery resources are already being used to pay down accrued debt. 1/4 of all lottery revenues. And I think it's wrong to continue lottery-backed bonding at a time when these revenues from lotteries are declining. And folks, let's face it, we need more jobs in this economic downturn. We do not need more Oregonians gambling in the lottery to pay for future borrowings. Finally, Oregon's constitution requires that the government use the lottery revenues only to pay for the lottery bonds. And as we continue to spend more to pay down these bonds, there is less money that we can contribute to the Education Stability Fund, as well as other programs that are funded from lottery dollars. And Oregon, we've simply borrowed too much money at this point, and I'm concerned whenever I hear the proposals to sink our state into deeper debt. We are sinking. It is our responsibility to spend the Oregonians' money wisely. That's why I'm here. I know that's why many of us are here. And during this economic downturn, we must live within our means and not borrow more than we can afford. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I just would like to call your attention to a page that I had put on your desk today. It's notable and quotable, which is coming from the Wall Street Journal. And the author is Bjorn Lomborg, and some of you will recognize the name. Some of you, perhaps the name lives in infamy, but I think it's very, very, very interesting. Germany, once priding itself on being the photovoltaic world champion, that is, the solar energy world champion, in which they doled out some $130 billion in subsidies to those folks that are willing to invest in solar energy. If I could quote from the article, though, it says, there is a fundamental problem with subsidizing inefficient green energy. Or inefficient green technology. It is affordable only if it is done in tiny tokenistic amounts.
And it goes on with that solar power is at least four times as expensive as energy that is produced from fossil fuels. Four times as expensive. Add that to your bill, whether you're in business or whether it's your home. So I'd ask you just to look at this. And one of the things I don't want you to do, though, in looking at it and reading it, is take consolation that we in Oregon have put out tens of millions of dollars in subsidies for the same thing that this nation now is finding inefficient. Don't feel good about it that you at least have a lot of company in the terms of another nation, a rather progressive nation that has done the same thing. And maybe take pride in the fact that even they were not able to look at our example and say maybe there's something wrong with this. So as we proceed through this and future sessions in this legislature, I'd hope we watch our expenditures on some of these things very, very carefully. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As most of you know, I'm a member of the State Debt Capacity Advisory Commission, and I have in front of me the report of that commission. I'm looking at page 2 of that report from this year, and I want to just quote a small portion of it, simply to note that, among other things, this is a long report, and I would commend it to you, and I think you ought to read it. That this report indicates that during the period of fiscal years 2014 through 2017, we will have a general fund supported debt capacity above what we are currently expecting to have of $2.57 billion. That's uncommitted debt capacity beginning in 14 through 17. It does note that we will slightly exceed the 5% debt service target for 2011-13. Colleagues, it's important to note that the target that we're talking about is a target. It's a target we have set for ourselves. It is not a target that is set hard and fast in natural law or in physics or anything else. It's a target we've set for ourselves. The state of Oregon is growing. We are paying off bonds as they come due. We have plenty of debt capacity in future years coming forward, as the material that I quoted indicates. The Debt Advisory Commission also assumes that the debt authorized by the 2011 legislature will be issued. And the numbers that the Ways and Means Committee process is working with are numbers that fall within the parameters of the report that I'm reading. I think it's critically important that we not politicize this report. It's very important that we understand what the actual reality is, that Oregon's credit rating is excellent. The reason Oregon's credit rating is excellent is because we are careful with our debt. And we are careful when we go out and borrow money, and we borrow it for the things that Oregon really needs. I don't want you to be misled about that. The fact is that Oregon is in good shape on its debt. The proposals that are before the Ways and Means Committee now fall within the parameters that I've described and within the parameters described in the report. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The representative from Clackamas, speaking about his bill, made me think of something that's happened recently. I've been in a press conference, if you will, in an editorial board with the president of the Senate, who likes to say in public that he's part of this co-governance attitude and feeling around here. I've served with co
chairs now. We've changed one of them. And it has been difficult. But I'm proud of the work that we did. I'm extremely proud to this day of the tone that has been set by both you, Mr. Speaker, and your co-speaker, Arne Roebelin. My point is this. I would like for the President of the Senate to have the courtesy to either do the math, because he's not tied. He has indicated that we might as well consider them being tied at 16-14, or have the courtesy to take responsibility for the bill death chamber that he's created over there, and stand up and say what he's doing. I do not accept that he has been part of a harmonious co-governance model. And as long as bills like the representative from Clackamas County talked about and many others are being treated and dealt with the way they are, I would appreciate it if he would take responsibility for those actions, take responsibility for the people that he has put in the place as chair, and stop acting as if he is in a co-governance model. That's my opinion, and I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance, Representative Parrish.
Thank you.
Colleagues, last year in June, you were all with me on the House floor, and when word circulated that my sister had died, and I was absolutely appreciative of the people in this building who reached around and put their arms up around me in that time of need. I wasn't really clear with some folks about what actually happened, and I'm going to share that today because it's part of this conversation about, do we use lottery funds or do we not? My sister died of a heroin addiction, actually methadone, I think is what the death certificate said. She died in a shelter. She'd been in and out of prison 38 times, in and out of Oregon and Washington jails. And a lot of that was precipitated by a gambling addiction. So we had a mental health problem, a drug problem, and a gambling problem. Representative Kinnamer and Tomei and people on the Human Service Committee heard hearings about the video lottery that's happening in our state. 3/4 of our lottery fund comes from video poker. 3/4 of that fund. That is not the average everyday Oregonian buying a scratch-it ticket funding good things. The lottery does good things. The lottery doesn't do good things, folks. We are dependent on this money in a way that is harmful to families. I have somebody in my community whose husband gambled away all of their money. That's what you're asking to fund these things with, folks, is people's life savings has gone down the drain. My sister died over this issue. This is what you're asking for with a lottery bond. And I appreciate that this state has fiscal problems and needs. But when the city, you know, folks in the city of West Lynn, and you got a problem gambler who takes away $1 million from the city of West Lynn to gamble it into our video poker machines, the state of Oregon did not give back the city of West Lynn $1 million. And yet we knew that her money went into the Oregon lottery machines, our money, city of West Lynn money, in a city that can't, just struggles to raise bond revenue and has a water system that needs fixing and is looking to lay off people. This is where you're getting your money. Problem gamblers, 67,000 problem gamblers in this state, funding these lottery bonds that everyone's asking for right now and making a political football around money is on the backs of people with addictions. It is on the backs of taxpayers coming out of people who are embezzling. It's white collar crime. And guess what? My sister might have stole your credit card as part of that process. She might have taken your money and gambled it away. And we're talking that this is identity theft. Women in Coffee Creek in identity theft cases to do video poker. This is where we're getting our money, folks. This is the face of Oregon's funding is people who are committing crime. And then you talk about mortgage rates and credit card rates. And if she steals, you know, somebody's credit card in this room to play video poker, guess what? We're all paying for that. I'm not comfortable with bonds on the backs of small population of people around video poker. This is not comfortable to me, and I can't support this.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance? Seeing none. Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 11 a.m. Thursday, February 23rd, 2012.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Thursday, February 23rd, 2012.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Thursday, February 23rd, 2012. Without objection, the House is adjourned.